Hi, everyone, and thank you for coming to my poster virtually. This poster is largely about this previously uncharacterized protein that we've named Carrefour Collaborator 1, or KFC1. But KFC1's story really begins with the yeast karyogamy protein CAR4. So we know that CAR4 is required for meiosis, and a separation of function analysis showed that CAR4 has two distinct functions in meiosis that we've called Mi and Spo. So the Mi function is an early function, and data suggests that it has to do with transcription. And kind of going along with that, we can suppress the Mi function by overexpressing the master meiotic transcription factor IME1. The second function, the Spo function, appears to be a later function, and data suggests that it has to do with post-transcriptional regulation. In fact, you need the overexpression of RIM4, which is a post-transcriptional regulator, in order to suppress the SPO defect. And you need overexpression of both IME1 and RIM4 together to completely suppress the CAR4 meiotic defect. But one thing we're really curious about is, how is CAR4 able to do all of these things? And so our hypothesis is that perhaps CAR4 has function-specific binding partners. And if we can identify those binding partners, we can learn a lot about CAR4's function. So what we did was IP mass spec of CAR4 during meiosis. And what we found was this interesting, previously uncharacterized protein, YGL036W, now KFC1. And there's really pretty much nothing known about KFC1, so it's been a really fun journey characterizing this gene and this protein. So it turns out that KFC1 is required early in meiosis before pre-meiotic S phase. So if we delete both copies of KFC1, we lose sporulation completely. But if we only restore one copy of KFC1, we see this really interesting haploinsufficiency. And then we can look at flow cytometry data and see that a KFC1 deletion mutant arrests firmly at 2N after SPO media, which is different than what you see in wild type. And in wild type, you see that you have a population in S phase and you have some 4N cells, so there's much more variety. Whereas KFC1 remains arrested at 2N, just like CAR4. But what's interesting is that if we overexpress IME1 and KFC1 delete, we're able to bypass that block and we can get DNA replication. And that's the same thing that we see when we overexpress only IME1 alone in a CAR4 deletion mutant. So the next question was, okay, are KFC1 and CAR4 engaging in a function-specific interaction? And so what you can see from these Western blots from immunoprecipitations is that the alleles that are defective for the SPO function, so the bottom set, if you look at that middle line, there's no band for CAR4. However, all of the SPO plus alleles maintain their interaction with KFC1. So it's really cool. It appears as though KFC1 and CAR4 are engaging in a function-specific interaction that's dependent on CAR4's SPO function. But another thing I noticed was that CAR4 levels appeared pretty low in the SPO minus alleles. And so I wanted to know if that was an intrinsic property of those alleles or if it had to do with not being able to interact with KFC1. So as it turns out, CAR4 is actually incredibly unstable during meiosis in KFC1. And you can see that from those Western blots, both without cyclohexamide, where there's a reduction in protein level. But then when you add cyclohexamide, you can see that CAR4 is incredibly stable in wild type, but turns over rapidly in KFC1 delete. And if we quantify that, we see that CAR4's half-life is actually reduced threefold in a KFC1 deletion mutant. So given that CAR4 levels are really low in meiosis, I wondered if a KFC1 mutant mimics a CAR4 mutant in other ways. And so as it turns out, that's true. A KFC1 deletion mutant also requires the overexpression of both IME1 and RIM4 to totally suppress the defect. But one thing that's curious is that the KFC1 deletion mutant is delayed by a day compared to the CAR4 deletion mutant. So in a CAR4 deletion mutant, when you overexpress both genes, you see spores after 1 day post-induction. But in a KFC1 deletion mutant, you don't see spores until 2 days post-induction. So that presents a really interesting question, right? Is there more to KFC1's story than just CAR4? So the next question, right, was, okay, well, does KFC1 have a transcriptional defect? And it does. It has an early transcriptional defect that's really similar to what we see with CAR4. And that red box is highlighting a swath of genes that are induced heavily in wild type but fail to be induced properly in KFC1 delete. And then if we look at the levels of proteins that are affected in a CAR4 deletion mutant, that data suggests are post-transcriptionally regulated by CAR4, we see that those proteins, in this case I'm showing SPS2, are also affected in a KFC1 deletion mutant. So we see highly reduced levels of the spore wall protein SPS2, but when we look at mRNA levels using qPCR, we see that those mRNA levels are basically wild type. And we see the same thing with another spore wall protein, GAS4. I'm just not showing that data here. And so to sum up what I've told you, KFC1 is a previously uncharacterized protein that is required for meiosis. It engages in a function-specific interaction with CAR4. It appears as though CAR4 and KFC1 are both important for the expression of GAS4 in SPS2. But the question remains, how? What's the mechanism? And so I'm really interested in asking if the CAR4-KFC1 complex is binding mRNA, and if so, what mRNAs are they binding? Is that binding affecting the occupancy of those mRNAs by the ribosome? And so what I'm asking, right, is this complex actually involved in translational regulation? So thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.